Boss, I don't know what kind of hour we're going to be spending now. If it's going to be a sicha, it'll be machshava, it'll be a chavura. It may be a potpourri of all three. And it's part of an amazing story. The most amazing part of it, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not ready to talk to it. It was one of the saddest moments in my life. And it happened 45 years ago. I have a special hakpada to make sure that I never miss Tisha B'A'av. The reason for this hakpada, I'm not prepared to reveal to you now. What happened was that this past month, as you remember, as you recall, it was very hard to get the Levana. I went out every night. It never was a Levana after the fourth, fifth night. I always do that because it's the month of Tevis. Shvat, it depends how it comes out during the year. And there was no Levana. And I got home from a wedding on the 15th day that was Tesvav. The last day of Shvat. I think it was Mickey Elman's wedding, I'm not sure. And one of the yeshiva boys took me home. And I came home, and it was raining, and as we got out of the car, it stopped raining maybe 3 minutes before it stopped raining. And it seemed to be the part of the cloud, the heaven was clearing up. So I determined that I'll go down a little later, and I'll look for the Levana, the Kaddish Levana. And about a half hour later, I go down, and the sky has cleared up considerably in that half hour, 40 minutes. And I live across the street from a park, a parkway, but it's a very wide park. It has in the middle, it has a mall. You go down the hill, the mall down the hill, and you come up again. And you have buildings on both sides of the parkway. So I see light, but I can't see the moon. If I go in the middle of the mall, I can overlook some of the buildings. And I thought I was thinking I'd be able to catch the moon. So I go off the sidewalk, and as you know, if you've ever seen me, I always walk fast. And suddenly I just walked a few steps in the street, in the gutter, and my foot stumbled over in what turned out to be a manhole cover that was put in upside down, so it protruded out of the ground. And I just was hurling in the air. And I fell on my foot, but I was able to get up. You know, it was a man, just one fellow came there, and he was asking, I'm all right. And he saw it, he said, aren't you going to take any picture of that manhole cover? You know, so I said, I haven't got time now for that. And I never did. I don't know if I didn't even look at it now to see if it was for about a week or two, the same way, nobody had repaired it. And I went down and I looked high, low, and I didn't look to see what happened to me. And I started to walk around, but I saw some light in the sky. I figured maybe that's where the moon is. And the cloud is hiding it. So I would follow that, and I had to go up. I must have walked a mile and a half around that whole area. I never got the moon. I came home, and I found my two knees were bloody. And the blood was dripping down my legs. So I cleaned it up best I could, and I just had a little hydrogen peroxide. I cleaned it with water, and I had some iodine. So I put iodine on. And I said to, you know, because it would be the first time that I remember in 45 or 46 years ago that I didn't say Kiddush Levana, never miss Kiddush Levana. So it's something, and I'm not now telling you the reason why it's so transcendently important in my life. So I put on my pajamas, and I say, Ta'kodesh Baruch, I'd call him Eibishter, you know. Said, Eibishter, you know, I tried my darndest. I got wounded in action. I can't explain it because after 45 years, it's a terrible thing to miss one. You can't, the feeling is overwhelming. And then I'm lying in bed, I don't sleep well. I didn't go to bed right away. I was reading, I was learning. And I go to bed, it must have been about 12 o'clock, 12:15. I never go that early to bed. And I can't sleep. And I look outside and it gets clear. And I see it's really clear outside, it seems to me. I go to the window and I see a star. Says that the moon must be out now. So I put a coat over my pajamas and run downstairs. go into the street again, and I see that the light is coming from a different direction. I don't have to go to Park Place. I don't know if you know anything about the Bronx. I don't think many of you do know, but your great-grandparents knew about the Bronx. And I went up to the concourse, and there I see light there, but I can't catch it. And I went with another mob. Just as I was, while I was going, I tripped again on the sidewalk, because there was one, you know, sidewalks have like squares of cement, and then you have a little border around the cement, and that's how you have every sidewalk. So one went a little high, I couldn't see it, and bang! And I fell again. But I continued going. I came home, I was bleeding just like before. I opened up both feet, both knees. I was lucky it didn't break. I didn't know, you know, Baruch Hashem, I eat sardines every day, and therefore probably there's calcium in there, that tells me. And I go through it. I mean, it may be very interesting now, but you see how important it is to what I want to tell you. And I come back and I'm bleeding again all over. And I have some more wounds, and I clean them up. I say, I don't have any more hydrogen peroxide. What can I do? And I get to Eberstein. I've got twice already when wounded in action. I get to get two purple stars. And the next day I came to you, I feel very badly. You know, it didn't leave me alone. That this is the first time in 45 years, at least 45 years. I mean, I remember the day when I used to go to Kiyos Levana before, so I can't really tell you. But when you had the Levana, you had the Levana. You never had it. So I determined that I would try to go the next night, and if I can go the next night, I can't go the next night, because it's really after this one. So that time, 45 years ago, I was Mekadesh Levona on the 16th, the night of 16th, it was the night later. And because of the story, I was told to be Mekadesh Levona at that time. And a great ness happened, which is unbelievable. Never will tell you. So I determined I was going to go. And then I remember that I spoke to my father at that time, and he really was the one that said, go be Mekadesh Levona. And he suggested a method of Mekadesh, of being Mekadesh Levona after this month. He didn't say anything about 16 to 17, he didn't say anything about this. And that was, he said, take out Sanhedrin, Mem Beis in Sanhedrin. The reason I'm talking about it, we're talking about brachas today. And I'm going to tell you, and also I'm going to talk about, in addition to brachas, I'm going to talk about a little bit, it begins with Petach Hamor. It's interesting. So yesterday the two halachas that we had, the first din halacha in the Torah given to the Jewish people was Achadish Vezelachem, and then right at the end of the parsha book you have Kadish Vezelachem by Petarechem. And it happens to be intertwined. I never knew that. We have, in the yeshiva, we're learning brachas, and we're also in the Kol Elyon learning Bechoros. So I think I'm going to write I'm writing a maimer now. I've been working on it the last 2 weeks where I was all over, and I'll take care of it and put in the part that has to do with the brachas here, but I don't think I can do it because you won't understand the full part intertwined. But that's beside the point. So I go into I say I'm going to do that, and what you do is you take a Gemara and you look in Mem Beis, Sanhedrin Mem Beis Omer Aleph, they have the entire bracha of Kiddush Levana. Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Atah. What's remarkable about this bracha is that both times, one it says in some Gemara, you have Baruch Atah Hashem, then he ends up with Baruch Atah Hashem, and some it says Baruch V'chulu, and then Baruch Atah Hashem. So you have the whole bracha written out. That's remarkable. And because of that, there's a big machlokas, which I'm just going to discuss the salient parts of this machlokas, whether or not you can have Askaras Hashem, you can mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Yudkei Vavkei, now that you're ready, the Adoshem part, you can mention it like you mention any bracha when you learn it. There's a general machlokas whether when you're quoting the pasuk of the Torah, you're quoting the pasuk in the Gemara, you're learning, or certainly in the Rishonim, can you mention say God's name completely, the entire God's name? And that also is part of a very big machlokas. And And those and there are more people who say you can do that. If it's a pasuk, you can do it. You do the whole pasuk. And some say even if you do half the pasuk, you can do it. But others say you can't. But generally, there's a much greater preponderance, I think, that say you can't make a bracha what's written in the in the Matbei of Brachos. You can't do that. That's the Rabbanan made it. And how can you say the Birz Hashem? But in the end, I'm not quite sure how we pasuk it. It seems to me we may be pasuking that you can make the bracha. Certainly, the Stei Chemed brings all the arguments on one side, the arguments on the other side, and he comes to the conclusion that you can make the bracha. And the Machtes HaShekel is the one that says that you can't do the bracha. So you have a brachas here. And he brings a raya from the Rambam. Just to open up the brachas. Somebody open the brachas and take the Pirush Mishnayos of Rambam. And Perek Aroy, the Perchi. And by the way, I want you to know, so after I went and I fell twice, I had to go to Eretz Yisrael, and maybe some of you saw it, but a lot of boys with you. So I had a meeting in Belfer Hall, and I was racing back here because I had to pick up a car service to take me to the airport. And I tripped again right on the street, and it was bleeding all over, and it was worse. It was terrible. And also, I thought I broke two ribs. And there was a third time I fell on the same parts, and then in new parts. And I went to the doctor's. I'll just have to tell me. I'm sorry, I'll close it up. Hello? Hello?
Hi, Daddy.
I can't speak now. I'm in the middle of Sikha, okay?
Okay?
I'm okay, Baruch Hashem. Let me just put this off. So, not only that, so I got that. Then I went to Europe. And Europe again, last Tuesday, I fell in the same area four times. So you say, there must be something wrong with me, but it was maybe my shoes, I don't know what it was. I think the last two times were because the foot, it hurts me when I pick it up too high. So I'm like going a little slower. I can pull it a little bit, but when you're walking and you're cognizant of that, that's when it happened. So the doctor told me here I shouldn't go. You can't go on that, but I listened to him. And Baruch Hashem, I made it back. But last night, and I was preparing for this shiur, I didn't have a chance, I just came in Wednesday evening, and I do other things. My foot, suddenly this foot, and it still is blue up, and has multicolors. It's like the lady, you know, the tattoo lady in the circus, and it's just spreading, and it's gotten so big. So I was really worried. I went to a doctor today in the morning, and he got very frightened. He said, you have to go to the hospital. You have to take a test, and I don't know if they have this test on Sunday. It's called a duplex, where they have to find if you have a clot in the blood that's causing it. That would be one of the things that's causing it. So I spoke to this gentleman. I didn't tell him I was going. I have this on yet. I don't. You got a scissor. I haven't had a chance to take because I just came here about a half an hour ago from Mincha, and Baruch Hashem it turned to be normal. And the doctor happens to be a Musmach of Ari Shiva. And he's head of the emergency, and that's why I got into there. He right away took me, Rabbi, and he did everything for me. And he got them with the duplex, which was very difficult on Sunday. He got somebody to do it. And I told him I have to give a shiur. He says, what are you going to give the shiur on? So I said, the shiur will begin on. I said it would have to do with brachas, with certain brachas you can, if you're with Levana and other brachas. And then it'll also have to go to the Gemara's, the shiur is learning, yeshiva is learning brachas. And also it has to do a little bit, if I have a chance, with the Petach Hamor. And they're intertwined in a way. So, and that happens to be what I told you, which happens to be the Kol Elyon of the Sechman. So he tells me, I can't believe it. The doctor is Eddie Reichman. I don't know if you must have heard of him. He does a great deal of halacha and science. So he tells me, I gave a shiur yesterday on Pidgin Bechor. It wasn't on Behema, it was on another, and it was very interesting. I'm not going to give you his share. And he went over, so I couldn't believe it that I was there at the doctor today at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was there from about 1:30 minute. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he's telling me about that he's doing it. He did yesterday's share on Pidgin. Then it was about a surrogate mother. A surrogate mother has a child, and she already had a child, the surrogate mother. This is very clear. I'm not going to tell you what he did. And she already had a child. But this is the first child that the original mother who gave the egg, is there a pidyut haben in such a child? And then what happened, and they paskin, there is a pidyut haben there, Halpern paskin there is, but you don't make a bracha in that pidyut haben. But if she later on, some nus, she couldn't give birth before, now she can give birth again, and she, it really is peter rechem then, I mean, it comes, not peter rechem, it comes from the rechem, so it's peter rechem, so in such a case she can have another pidyut haben, and there she can say a bracha. So that was, then he went through the whole thing. This is a very interesting, this is an unbelievable thing that's happened. Okay, now, the Maaseh HaShechel says here, he brings the, here, look at the Rambam in Perek Chi. Perek Haroa, and it has to do with all the brachas. Perek Chi, Haroe Makom Shenasu Bo Nisim Yisrael. That's the first. That's the way it begins. So you have to make a bracha. Baruch Shasa Nisim. Baruch Atu Hashem Akeinu Malach Olam Shasa Nisim. So he says over here, Makom Shenasu Nisim Yisrael. And it may even not. You don't have to say Be Yom Hem Bazman Zeh. Just you say Nisim, that's all. That you don't even have to say the part. Makum shenasu nisim Yisrael, gegon yam, benachle arnon, ve'even sheyoshav aleh Moshe, b'melchemes amolek, uchodome lezeh, ukvar omarnu, ba'asher hikdamnu, ki b'chol makum, sheyoma boruch, rotzeloma boruch, ato ad Hashem Elokeinu melech olam, upirish nekro yadua. That's what the Rambam says. So Maaseh HaShechel says here, what the Rambam means to say is that the Gemara didn't write Baruch HaTu Ad Hashem. We should know it means Baruch HaTu Ad Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, but didn't write Baruch HaTu Ad Hashem. Why didn't it write Baruch HaTu Ad Hashem? So he says, you know, that we know the Tam, so to speak, someplace. And the Tam, he says, of course, is the Tam is that you're not allowed to say, you're not allowed to be Maaseh Hashem Ad Hashem. So you say, they say Baruch. Baruch Shos and Nisan. Therefore, it doesn't say Baruch HaTu Ad Hashem. And the Steh Chemet says, it's not only the Steichem, it's the Shelis Yavitz. And the Shelis Yavitz, by the way, holds, I'm going to go right away to it. The Shelis Yavitz holds that you do make the bracha b'shem. If it's in the Gemara b'shem, you're allowed to make the b'shem. I'm not quite sure if it means even when it isn't in the Gemara b'shem. So certainly when it is b'shem. And therefore, when we take the Gemara in Mem Beis in Sanhedrin, over there it says Baruch HaTu Hashem. Or you go through brachas. And I found something else because I'm now making a study of this. So I had the computer find me all the places it says in all of Shas, Baruch HaTu Hashem. And all of Shas, in Brachas you'll find it four times. It may be a 500 mentions of Brachas in Brachas. You know, oh, Baruch HaTu, Baruch, or just say, Baruch Priates, it doesn't say Baruch HaTu Hashem. Over here you go twice, you say, if you get the, yeah, get me a Gemara Sanhedrin, I'll show you here. You have a Gemara Sanhedrin? You come remember. So he says that they thought of all brachas, but I looked at it and there are only 15, at most 16. I found 19, but when you have to look very carefully over the computer, spit out as they give it to you, because the computer sometimes is confused. It says Baruch HaTor, and if three or four letters later you have a Yud, and then you may have a K, but to them it's all part of Ad Hashem. And they don't realize that it's not Baruch HaTu, it's Baruch HaTu, and there's some other words over there. So I was able to take away four of them or five of them. So about 15 left. In all of the Yerushalmi, there's only one place. Baruch HaTu Ad Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shegad Yisrael. So it's interesting. That's the only place in all Yerushalmi. And you have to find a common denominator. Sidei Hashoveh. The common threads that bring together these, if there are common denominators, there may not be. I begin to see some, because I haven't done it all yet, but I begin to see some of them. They're not as close as I would like them to be. However, in the Gemara in, this is what? Sanhedrin. So you, I'll just begin. Omar Ravi, Omar Ravacha, Bar Chanina, Omar Ravasi, Omar Biachanan, Kol Hamavorech, Ala Chodesh, Bismano. Now the important word is Bismano. So that, you know, then it means that's why you can't, we're very strict about it, we try not to say it afterwards, and I'm going to try to explain to you what we mean you can say it afterwards. If you say. Bismano. Ki'ilu mekabel pnei shechinah. It's like he's mekabel the pnei shechinah. So it's a very important thing. Siv hocha hachodesh hazeh. That was one of the reasons I chose this topic, because I knew it was hachodesh hazeh lochem. Hachodesh hazeh. Uksiv hosom. Zeh keli vanveil. That's next week, said. Zeh keli vanveil. So the zeh means hachodesh hazeh means hachodesh. This the new levana that represents zeh. Who's zeh? Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Tana de Bei Rabbi Yishmael, Ilamole, Lazachu Yisrael Lahagbil Pnei Aviem Shebishmaim Kol Chodesh VeChodesh Dayom. It's an important thing. Just in the Gemara, forgetting any personal reasons that give added weight to an individual. Amar Abaya, Hilkoch Nemreinu Muumad. Therefore, you have to say it standing up. Meremo Marzutra Mekatfei. Hadodim of Orchid, they used to get one god on top of the other, and he got higher up to see, apparently, and he would get on his shoulders like, and then he would say, Kiddush Levana. Amale Rav Achol Ravashi, Bamarova Mavarche, Baruch Mechadesh Chodoshim. So he says, you say Baruch Mechadesh Chodoshim. There's no Atu Hashem Lekenu here. So it says, Amale Hai Noshe Didan Nami Mavarche. We do, our women here also, but Ella Kidarav Yehuda Amarav, we hold, even meaning even the lesser people. Everybody knows that when we are Mekadish de Levana, we take it Rav Yehuda Amar the Amar Rav Yehuda Baruch Vachul, mean Hashem Mamaro, then he goes through the entire thing, and it's Baruch Ato Hashem Mechadesh Chodoshim. So it's a real, and in some Gemara you'll have Baruch Ato Hashem begin to, we have Baruch Chul. No place you'll have Baruch Chul, you just say Baruch. It's Baruch Shas and Nisim. The Mishnah says Baruch Shas and Nisim. So the Master Shekel says the Rambam understands that if the Mishnah Rabbeinu HaKadosh doesn't want to write out Baruch Ato Hashem, because he says you can't write down God's name, so he prefers just to say Baruch Shas and Nisim. That's the way the Master Shekel learned in the Rambam. And yet, but he forgets there are places where we do say it. So if you're not supposed to say it, you shouldn't say it any place. Now, why do you think we should say it here? This is one read I have, it just for this place. Why do you think we should say it here? Is anybody, you heard me say the Gemara, I just started the Gemara, out of reading the Gemara, you should understand. I don't expect you to get such an answer, I have even an answer, I haven't thought of that, but after my big introduction here, you should have some thought of it. All right, I know you'll get it, but it'll take a little long. So he says over here, because they said over there that, all right, he says, Rav Ach, Amalei Rav Ach, Rav Ashi, but my Rava in Eretz Yisrael, Mavarchei Baruch Mechadesh Chodoshim, because there he says we say only Baruch Mechadesh Chodoshim, without the Atar Hashem. See what if he said Baruch here? Usually when it says Baruch, you remember the Rambam says when it says Baruch, it means Baruch Atar Hashem. He says it means that Shekinah Shanu, and that's a problem because a lot of times you only have a bracha Baruch Atar Hashem, you don't have a Shekinah Shanu. But he still says, he says Baruch, because you always say Baruch Ato Hashem. But you see right away over here that when you say Baruch, it doesn't mean Baruch Ato Hashem. And then he said, in our place, in Babel, we say Baruch Ato Hashem at the beginning, and he goes again, and also Baruch Ato Hashem, he brings it twice in the Gemara. He has to bring it twice. Not only do we say it, and you don't say it at all, we say it twice. That's the Chiddush, as I see it for this Gemara. Whether we have to, and I see in other places, some like this and some otherwise. I can't go through every place he says Baruch and say, why did he say it over there? Maybe if it's false and it has the same qualities, would you be saying? It'll take a long, long time. Okay, this is what he says. Now, I'm going to go through. Where do I have my. Okay, I need one. Okay. Thank you. There is a question about, as I told you, about psukim as well. And you can't really separate The two, the question of Sukkim and that. This is the, I think this is it. This is where this is the computer, you know what a computer printout looks like? This is where you'll find all the, in the Bablin, you'll find it, and it's very interesting. And at the Yerushalmi, you only see Gaal Yisrael is interesting too. That's the only place, it's Baruch Ata Hashem, Gaal Yisrael. The Stei Chemed, in Mareches Brachos, has it twice. You know, he has many svarim. And he comes back to topics he took before, and it took him 20, 30 years to write the Stei Chemed. It's an amazing thing, because you can see how many words in the Stei Chemed. They're tiny words, they're long columns, and he wrote thousands of pages. And then he goes back to it, because he received letters from the G'dolei Hador, Goyni G'dolei Hador, so he incorporates it, and he goes and he adds to it. But over here, this is Mareches Brachos. So he begins over with this, with Petach Hamor. And he doesn't really talk about our question, but it's an interesting question. And then from that he goes on to this, and it's like one piece. Mar Kosi b'mitzvah pidgin aben, pidgin peter chamor. He talks about a case here that a Jew buys a chamora from a goy, and masich lefi tumo, the goy tells him that it was never mavakir. There are ways you can examine it. They're not foolproof ways, but you can examine to see if it did have or not. And most of the time, if it had a bechor, you could tell, but you can't always tell. So you want to say masil habitumo. Therefore, if when it has the first animal, the first when it which will be bichra according to the guy, so then you can make the bracha. That's what he was thought about. He said others came along, and they said no. The goyim know that we put a premium on a chamor that never had a child, because we want to be able to be mekayim the mitzvah of petach chamor. It's a very hard mitzvah to get. It's that come often, and we want to be mekayim the mitzvah. So Jews pay more money for an animal that never had a child yet, because they'll be able to be mekayim the mitzvah of petach chamor. So you really can't fool them. You can talk about masil shimon. They know that they're going to get more money for that, and therefore they say it. Therefore you can't say the bracha. Or you get you buy an animal. And you ask the goy, Masich, if you don't tell me, this animal is the first animal born to its mother, the second animal born to it, because if it's feather chamor, you have to fight it. And you can't use it. You know. So can you believe them or can't you? And he says, no, it's the second animal, third animal. There, the prophet would be, good, I can use it now. I don't have to give a pigeon. Or maybe he wants to buy it specifically, give him even more money for it, and say, that's what I'm looking for, I'll be able to have a mix of pigeon up there. So because of that, you have a question. And then he says over here, Bitur Yeridea Simin Shin Chaf Aleph Yisayim Mashakosa Bitur Vizelashono Lefikov Miyad Kishimafishim Uvorech Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hashek Yishono Mitzosav Tzivonu Al Pidgin Peter Chamor Divin Yizeh Dahava Kukori Bitorah Yitzonu Mikol Safek Umishol. So he says that that in this way you can be mikol tov ad kan shon rabba now vein dati haniya noche vetikun ze benela memena ma shekosu rabbonim shevesi benitfas the lo amre de muter lomar haskor is directly mudo ela bepsukim shevetor. So originally he begins like he's against the idea. Who said you can say Baruch Ator Hashem? They take it from, he said over there, I left out a few sentences, that you can take a Gemara, you take where it says, and you say the bracha from the Gemara. You say Baruch Ator Ad Hashem. I just want to tell you what happened to me. I went there the 16th day, and I'm going to show you, maybe you can say it the 16th day Lachat Chila. And that's what my father maybe knew. And he said, I took a Gemara, and I also took a sitter. And I went into the park, and I saw the moon. The moon was very bright, and I went under a lamp, but I can't see very, very well. These, well, I couldn't make out the Gemara. I couldn't say the Gemara. So I took the sitter and I said to the sitter, "Look, this is a sitter I'm reading from. I explained to HaKadosh Baruch what I'm doing, and this is a sitter. But the text of the sitter, you know, the nusach of the sitter is exactly the way you find it in the Gemara. So I'm learning now. So if I can be yaitzer with this, I'm saying it from the sitter. If I can't be yaitzer with this now at the bracha, so I'm learning from the sitter the text of." And I watched it, when I looked at it, you know, I thought about it much more, like this. We just say it, 1, 2, 3. So I stopped, I said it, and thought about it. So this is what he says over here. Vein dati ani, he says he didn't think the deacon said. Vihine, vikudin ze, hevesi b'sifri divri yedid nafshi hagoyin, Morenu Moshe Nachum Yerushalamsky, the Sefer Minchas Moshe, Shehevi Raya Mehashas, the Brochus Daf Chav Beis. Vitimati Alze, Shehare Mefurish Kosav Rashi Shom, the Hainu Haaskoros Shibimikro. See,
he wanted to bring a Raya there that they said God's, you're supposed to say God's name. So Rashi explains it means only the God's name that you're allowed to mention. Did you see in the Gemara Pasuk? But it doesn't say you can do it for brachas either. The Rav Gadol, I'm skipping over. Ein raya lahatir lo ma'askor shebrachas. Then he goes on further, a few lines down. Kosovli, the Rav Gadol echem yedidi. Kosovli, yedidai. Kosovli, kishiroa divrei harav Moshe Shapir. Behilchas birchas Moshe hanal. Shelo hoil, behisnatzluso. He went, he saw the birchas Moshe. They came from this Rabbi Yerushalmsky. The lo hoil, shelo hoil, behisnatzluso. Sharei beemes b'shelas yavitz. Kos of raya zu, mevseches brachos. Lahatir loma askoros shebemikros. Valahetir loma askoros shebebrachos. Hevi raya mishas teshuas. And then elu torah dvarav. Because of li shigam la goyin birchas Moshe. Hodiyash hasagoso. That the birchas Moshe who wrote originally that you can't do it has accepted the thing. And he says, Jekvar kosav asmo b'sefer minchas Moshe shomar lo chochem echad she b'sefer shelis yavetz hevi raya zu l'fima shodia Moshe emes b'sefer birchas Moshe me hashmotas hamatik dvorim b'minchas Moshe hey ma medvorim al askor b'mikros vein od hasagolav k'muvim vein la'aruch l'pivutu that the hinei b'nitfa shom evesi ma shekosav harav machzis hashekel b'kavonas divrei harav Morgan Avram. The Morgan Avram said, "The Medivrei Atosis VaRambam beFerush haMishneh, meaning beFerush haMishnayis, Reish Perek Haroya, Muchach Dosel Haski Hashem Shemayim, Kishomer haBrachos haMuvos v'Shas. The Lefi Divrei haRambam vaAtosis Shama, Shishininu haRoya, Omer Boruch Shos haNisit, Hainu b'Shem haMalchus, Tikshul haNim Kein haMai Rabenu haKadosh Lo Toni Hocha veHedya, El Vadei Tzorach Lomer Dosel Lomer Derech LiMudam, VaChayish Pen Yavo Lomer Kein Derech LiMudam." Lochin Hishmir Askoros, Vikshesi, the Mishnah Shlemer Shaninu Vipsachim. It says the Mishnah, Baruch Ato Arishem, Goal Yisrael. Vikhain Viperik, that's in, it's in Yishami. Also, I told you, that's the one place Yishami said, but it certainly says in the Babi. Vikhain Viperik Sheni the Titus. And he goes on, and he goes on, sir, he says, and Vitsianti Laiyim Vichidushi Agoras Marshur, Brochos Davob, Dibra Mashu Shafil Echo Yoshim, Vaisi Vitura, Ad Kandvor. Ve'ele divrei ha'goyin marshoh hanal she'afilu echad yoshev osik v'torah she'nemer b'chol mokum ha'she'aski. You're allowed to say God's name because b'chol mokum ha'she'aski is Shmi. That's you say it. V'ha'chi mefarish lo le'inyan osik v'torah she'b'chol mokum she'etin l'chorishus l'haski Shmi da'ainu b'derech limud. So the marshoh says it mefarish that you can say. And there, I've gone and I underlined many other things you said, but I want to bring this. When he does Marechis Brachis again, here he's only talking about the question if you're allowed to have. Do it. That's a shela, but he later comes on. Shaltani, Beni, my son asked me, "Mutalikros askoras bepsukim hamuvoyim etamud." And by the way, Rav Moshe Nigris Moshe Paskins that you can't say. He talks about only pesukim. He doesn't seem to say that you can say the the Scorus, you know, the Pumbe, all out when it comes to the Madei of Brochus. Then he says, the Im Tomash also the cross from something goes on the whole thing, and then he says, Medivari Rapsadi and Siatal and Alev, the Orani Omer, Shaf in this Danulo Ascorus, but Madei of Brochus, Hamuvoyim Betalmud, Kagon Sof Psochim, Cain out of Shamelo Kenny Aginul Moadim, Yearly Shemaskar Shem Kedero Shakoro Betoro. Now I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me. Just thinking as I was writing it, I was going to Columbia at that time in American history, and I had a professor who was one of the outstanding American historians, and his name was Richard Brandon Morris. He was one of the greatest authorities in colonial history, particularly. And he was known to have buried himself in the catacombs of the Columbia Library, the Butler Library, for years and years, and wrote books, and he went through all the different papers, and he went through the economic history, he went through bills and contracts and everything to get a sense of what the economic life of the colonies was, not just to give you a general sense. He gave and at the same time, he wrote a very important biography on John Jay, he wrote on Hamilton. But he was one of the outstanding historians of his time when I was there. I didn't know if he was Jewish or not. So we had to write papers for this was a seminar, for a doctoral thesis. At your beginning, you're writing chapters of what you think. So I was writing about Robert Aitken. You never heard of him. He wrote a Bible. He published a Bible. And his Bible was the only Bible that ever received the accreditation of the Congress of the United States. But not our Congress, the Continental Congress. But nothing ever received it, but it's an American Congress. That's the only time they gave you accreditation. So I wrote about the Robert Aitken, and every time I came to, when he spoke about God a great deal of time. So I wrote in my, okay, I was going to yeshiva, I was last year smicha, at that time it was possible to do a lot of things. I wasn't here yet in the other office, so I couldn't do anything. And you can probably do it now too, better even. And then I went there in the afternoon, and I wrote my paper. So when you wrote it, you put it in the library. You had to make copies of it. You put it in the library, and everybody in the seminary, about 12, 13 people in the seminary, some of them became outstanding American historians. Henry Graff, others were really great historians. And then everybody has to read it, and you critique it in the class. So I write that. When it came to the word God, I said, G-D, Lord, L, dash RD. And by the way, in these Shalas and Shuvas, he asked the question, does the same thing apply writing out God's name, or do you have to write it out? And over here in this same Shuvah, he says, you're not allowed to write out God's name. He's asking some, he says yes, and some say no. If you're allowed to write. The Rav said you can write out God, G-O-D. But I was brought up in a different way, and we never did, and I don't know how most people were. But it was G-D, yeah. So I wrote it in my paper, and I didn't think about it. And one of the students got up, Goy, it didn't make a difference, the majority were Goy, and he said, Mr. Sharlop, I don't understand it. Every time you come to God or Lord, you say G-D, L-D, what is all this about? So Richard Morris, who I discovered later was Jewish, and he was the assistant to one of the outstanding Reform rabbis in America in the 1920s. His name was Louis Newman. And Louis Newman was a great Zion, was one of the first, probably, great Reform rabbi who was a Hoy of Eretz Yisrael. And he had two sons. One son, I think, married a Goya, and the other son became 100% Orthodox. And I got to know him very well. But Louis Newman was a great hero in America, not in his religion, but in his defense of Jewish rights and against even the establishment he did it. So he told me I was his secretary. That he was his secretary, and I used to help him write, because he wrote a lot of things. He wrote a famous book called The Chief Rabbi of Rome, this was many years later, of Rome Became a Catholic. And that was a famous, Zoli was the name of Zoli. So he says to me, and then I found out, he asked me once to come and give my paper. It was a Monday, and it was Yom Kippur, and I was a rabbi then, when I was in his class. Because I had him twice, I had him in fifth, well, I'm not going to tell you how old I am. So, and then I had him later. So the second time I had, this was the second day I had him for master's and for doctor. And he goes over and he says, he told me that time. I said, I can't come, Yom Kippur. It's my Yom Kippur. He says, that's what he told me. I was the assistant, I was the secretary and the assistant to Rabbi Newman. And I had no problem when I went to Columbia. He told me I can go to Columbia. He said, education is very important. And there's nothing that you do in education while you're in a class and listening in class. I said, but I have to travel here. I can't get there. Can't you get a room over here? You know, that's on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Shul, I'm going to get a room someplace and go to his class. So this is a Maisa Shoya. Anyway, this man brings up the issue of G-D, L-D-R-D. And he says, yes, I noticed it too. And the discussion began in the classroom. And everybody, joined the discussion. And everybody unanimously said that isn't right. Everybody writes L-O-R-D. This is not a religious class. I told him the religious compunctions I had. And he said to me, Mr. Charlotte, if you write the next paper you write, you have to write it out. If not, I will not accept it. And I didn't know what to do. So I went out. The class was in the middle of the week. That Sunday, the New York Times Book Review, it's a Nes Min HaShemayim, had a review on the first page of the book review on a new multi-volume series under the imprimatur of the University of Pennsylvania on the writings of Benjamin Franklin. I think in the end there were about 31 or 32 volumes. This was the first volume. And the writings of Benjamin Franklin began when he was very young, and he was the editor at a very young age of Poor Richard's Almanac, which you all heard. And they, on the first page of the New York Times, they had a little box to give you an example of how Poor Richard's, a poem appeared in Poor Richard's Almanac. So in the poem he goes and he says the following. He says, from an aching back, from a bang in the eye, whatever, he went, goes all the terrible things that can happen to a man doesn't like. He says, oh Lord, please save me, or spare me. And the Lord was L-R-D. And Benjamin Franklin was more or less considered a free thinker. He wasn't a very religious person and such. And even he, and Poor Richard Almanac, this was, you know, that what they did normally. The Goyim, L-R-D. I took that copy, and I came back the next Monday, and I did it with a little temerity, because I said, you raised the issue, I'm sorry, we're near the end of class, and I feel I have to do it in front of the whole class, that I can't come in with a paper here. This is an American history class, and it was done on a colonial and immediate post-colonial until with the Confederation, and the whole. And I said, and that's the way they used to write it there. He looked at this, I'll never forget it. And he just put his head like on it. And he wondered, and he says, you know, I have to tell you something. I've worked years in the bowels of the Butler Library, and I've printed books and everything. And I've gone through thousands and thousands of items and issues that were written in the colonial period. And until this moment, I realize now that whenever they used to write God, it almost always was L-R-D or G-D. But when he read it, he just read it, it never dawned upon him. So when I said this, he says, you know, it was not uncommon in the time that, and he let me write it following G-D. So I've given you the Machlokas as appears in the Shelis Yavetz and in the Masas HaShekel. And the end of the day, it would seem to me that the majority, certainly it comes down to say Chemet, that you can say the bracha on such a case. You can say with shame, Baskar shame. And there's nothing more. There's no Malchus there because you say Baruch HaTor Hashem, Masha Baruch. So I think that there must be. I'm going to find it. I hope to be able to have it ready for publication, if it proves to be in any way true. And even if it's not true, just to find the things why it's so different. Now, what I did find, and this I just got today, and I didn't have time, but the Chasam Sofer. Now, I still have an issue, so I can make it with, this is a general principle, that according to the Shelis Yavetz, and he brings a lot of riots, and according to Zeichemit, you can really be maskir shem ad shem. The ultimate raya that the Yavis says, he says, we know that the olam, that a man should always be mishalish. He should do one third of his life in mikra, one third of his life in mishnah, and one third of his life in Talmud. So that's what Chazal tell us. But he says that, but then he brings it with the very famous Gemara, that now that we're learning only Gemara, and all of it is balul in the Gemara. The psukim are balulim in the Gemara, the Mishnah is balul in the Gemara. So therefore, when you're learning Gemara, it's like learning Chumash and Tanakh as well. And therefore, the whole Gemara is considered one piece. When it's balul, the whole Gemara becomes one. It doesn't mean that the Chumash loses its authenticity, its authority rather, and its kedusha. It becomes one piece, and therefore you can be maskir shem. That's the final word of the Shevet Yavetz. Now, the Chasam Sofer is very important, but I have one question left. What question would you have to ask? I said you can say maskir shem Hashem. What was the other question? It was after Zmano. It was a day later. So the Chasam Sofer says over here, Chasam goes through with how you calculate the mola in the time. Ach nearly old Yosef, he says this here. He says Shaloyira Shaloyia Nirgash Hachisaron Adacha Yudches Yosef Chol Hapachos Yim Kain Haya Yochol Levorach Chol Hapachos Ad Yudches Shos Acher Chatsi Chof Tes Yud Beis Tashzag Shehu Kamoshe Shos B'Yom Tes Zayin. So he comes out and he figures out, the Chasam Sofer, that you're allowed to do it the first 6 hours of the 16th day. So in my case, we're going to see if he even goes later. But so in my case, it was the next day. It happened to be the 16th day. And it was the first. It was also the 16th day at the time, 45 years ago. Ach, nearly old Yosef. Ki heche di amin in achar zayin fan is basmo. What does mem ayin mean? When the Chasam Sofer says mem ayin, Menachem Azaria Mipanu. You should know that because he mentions it a lot of times. Menachem Azaria Mipanu. Hanal Ad Zayin Niris Pigimosam. So he said you're allowed to really say it until 7 days before the end of the month. So that's until the 22nd or 23rd day. After the 16th day, he maybe has a question about a bracha. But that you can be mekayim the mitzvah kiddush without the bracha until the 23rd day. That's the Chasam Sofer. He's the only one that says this. Yochel Avar, he said, Yochel Avar, she'oz have a begimah shalor k'mo zayin yamei yom rishon. V'arolom avarchin, he said, because what happens? The sun, the moon rather, waxes and wanes. So a lot of people wait until the seventh day, because in the first days it's only you see part of it, and that's called like begimah. So you only see part of it, so therefore you can't. So in the seventh day you can do it already. According to the people who hold us, we do it certainly in the months of the winter, we start as early as we can. At least 3 days, we wait 3 days, but after that we'd say it. But then when you go back, he says, so until the last 7 days, it's more than there was the beginning of the first 7 days. And the first 7 days, everybody says you can say, maybe not a chafila. But certainly if you see it and you have reason to say it because you're not going to be any place, you're allowed to say it. So he says, if it's tolum begimah, said begimah of the last days of the chodesh until the 7 days, that you can say it. And maybe if you don't hold 7 days, but hold it, you do 3 days, maybe you can do it the last 3 days of the chodesh. It's amazing, amazing. Chasam Sofer. So he says, "Beizam, my name is Jamira Achkar. Va'ayin brachos haroa chama betufaso ubarach erach chama u'maisale b'hagos maimani perik yud mehilchos brachos." Mishem Yishalmi, the Biamos Hakshamim, Kisha Miskase Hachama Gimul Yomim, Munanim, Kishamira Achakach, Kishamira Achakach Mavorchim. He says you're allowed to, when you have the tefillah for the chama, you have once in 7 years, whatever it is. So you have to have, you only have the first few days to do it. And he says, but if you don't have your clouds, you're allowed to do it. So the same thing you do with the moon. You don't, if it's cloudy, not that because you forget you're amazing. We're talking about Shas Tzchak, that he didn't have no other opportunity to do it. You're allowed to do it after. So there he says, in came Pshita, Shaya Royal of Arach al Hayerach, Hayerach, Chadosha, Shalom Niris Orach Chodesh Cloud. He said, in a case like we had the last month, you couldn't see it at all the first days. I know that people did see it, came out in Yeshiva for a few minutes. You know, they had to go out, you're lucky if you saw it. But in Wiedens, and I went out every night, I never saw it. So he said, if you didn't see it, am I alone in the Varech? I feel b'sofa chodesh. So he brings, the Chassam Sofer brings the Menachem Azariah, the Panu, that you can even do almost to the end of the month and do that. Of course, the reasons why we don't do it. Why do we do it? People only want to get married a lot of times. I see a lot of the boys are not makbid in that year. But they get married on the first 15 days. Because you want to get married when the moon, it's mazel day. It's a time of simcha, as the moon waxes. But when the moon wanes, it's not a time of simcha. So that's enough. If you follow that reason, then we understand why you can only do it, and that probably is the reason most known, and we attribute the fact that you can go only 15 days. But he says that's not the reason. The main reason, he says, you must have. If it's only being must, it should make no difference beginning and end. He doesn't have the reason of simcha either. Okay, now I want to just say two things. And this will be a little, see, what time is it now? What time is it now? Okay, so it didn't take too long. One thing I said yesterday in Shul, but I think it's very important, and I found I had a chiddush yesterday. The whole thing's a little bit of a chiddush, but I mean something which I didn't notice until I looked at it yesterday, and I suddenly jumped up. The question is, why do we say Achodesh Lechem? Why is that the first mitzvah? There are many answers given, because all the Yom Tovim are dependent upon the Luach. And certainly it begins with Pesach. So you have to Achodesh Lechem. You have to have that month and be able to have in Tezvav, to be able to have the first Pesach. And so we should go on. But there's, I think, a deeper reason for it. And Rosh Hashanah, for example, comes out on Rosh Chodesh. What is the importance? What is the dimension of Yoreach? Why is Yisrael Nimshala LeYoreach and not to the sun? To the Refyolgin, and Refyolgin meaning the bright sun. So that's what I would take the sun in. The warmth of the sun, the heat of the sun, the light of the sun. The moon can't compare to it. The moon is merely a reflection of the sun, we know. It doesn't have its own power. And yet we say to Yisrael, Nimshala, the Levana. And that's where we begin. We begin our Seder Shemei Teshuva with Rosh Chodesh. It's the first mitzvah, and Rashi right away comes and tells you that all Eretz Yisrael depends upon this. And that's why we went, we delayed the first mitzvah all the way until the middle of after the beginning of Shmos. So it seems to me, because Yoreach represents Anova, in all relationships, in the relationship between man and man, between man and woman, and most of all in the relationship between man and God. When I say man, I don't mean man, but humankind and God. What is required is another. We know that men are great despots. They think that they're gods. People who are titans in Wall Street think they're gods. All over the world, you know, people say, I did it all. Kochi, otsim yadi, asu es achoyel hazeh. We did it all. So let's say that I become a nanov. And it's very important because when we talk about the Levana in Chulin, so we say in Samach, Amud Beis, so we have the famous story that it says, Shnei Hamoros HaGedolim, there's Amor HaGadol, Amor HaKotin. So it's a contradiction in the same pasuk.
Shnei Hamoros HaGdolim, the two great lights, luminaries, and then we say the great light and the smaller light, or the large light and the small light. So the Gemara asked the questions. He said, well, what happened is that the Levana came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Efshar Shnei Melachim Shishtamshu B'Keser Echad. It's impossible that two Melachim should use one crown. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're right. L'chi mati asatzmech. Go make you, diminish yourself. Make yourself smaller. He complained a little bit to Levana. He said, because I told you something that's proper and correct, and you admit and acknowledge it's proper and correct. So, therefore, I'm punished that I have to make myself smaller. He doesn't go beyond that. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tries to make amends to the Levana. One of the strangest Gemaras, I must may mention it in a different context, and that Gemara tells us is it's Chatos Lad Hashem. We have all kinds of Chatoyas, but only the Chatos that we bring in Rosh Chodesh is Chatos Lad Hashem. So the Gemara says Chatos Lad Hashem, that Hashem wants this to serve as a kapara for the fact that he compelled the moon to make itself smaller. And the truth of the matter is the moon becomes smaller. And we look at the whole Gemara, they talk about another. And they said, why should you be complaining? It's Avram HaKotan. It was Yaakov HaKotan, David HaKotan, Shmuel HaKotan. Shmuel HaKotan, he made the Mamav Shinim prayer. Anymore. So you say, the Katas is a great thing, and that's very important. So another is very important. So the Levana represents the greatest symbol of another. But we need another from another side. What other side do we need another from? In our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The biggest another is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's another. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and he says that he relates to us all together. I mean, we can't even compare. We can say he's at a higher sphere and we're a lower sphere. There's no way of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's so beyond that. He's beyond anything. To say he's beyond is not proper. And so what term do we use? What term do the Baalei Kabbalah use? We talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzimtzum, right? You use the term of Tzimtzum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzamtzim himself. He makes himself smaller. When he makes himself smaller, he's able to relate. He's able to relate to man. He allows man to relate to him. He made himself humble. But Mokum Shata Motzek Dulasa Shalakarish Barchu Shom Ata Motze Anvo Sanusa. And that is what the Chiddush I found here. I never felt it before. Was in the Gemara which I'm going to speak to you about too, in Sanhedrin. So he talks about this, and he says over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes himself smaller, and he says when we're not good, when we are tzaddikim, when we follow his word, we heed his Torah, but otherwise when we're chotim, he says shetuchah shchinosi, he says it can't be that my shchina lios mitzumtzemes. In a case when you're a chotim, I cannot have that you become smaller, that you become another, that I would become smaller for you. So the word with tzimtzum is already in Rashi. I never noticed before. So the concept of tzimtzum, which we believe that the Zohar was written in the time of Reb Shimon Yochai, but it wasn't known until the 30s. That's the great argument that people say that it was done by David de Leon, and he was the one who wrote it. But the fact of the matter is, we believe that Munah Shleimu was written in time of Shimon, but people didn't know it. And this kind of idea, we don't find, very rarely can we find such ideas, Kabbalistic ideas. So you see, the word Mitzumtzemes, Rashi used it simply, Mitzumtzemes. So the word Tzimtzum, this is a very, it's Zion, the last line, and Rashi on Dav Zion. However, I remember the Rav, we were learning Sanhedrin, and I wasn't learning it, I learned what other Mitzumtzemes were. But we heard this shiur, and this is a very famous shiur. The Gemara Sanhedrin has a big argument, the Dav Vav in Sanhedrin, whether or not, what is greater, bitsua, which means shara, or din. Like if I go to court, and I'm 100% right, and I want to exact the all, and righteously I say, all that's owing to me, coming to me. But if I insist on it, there'll be hard feelings.
There'll be machlokes, but I don't care. This is what the din. The din is al kehorim. It uproots mountains. I'm sure it is. I said, look, I know I feel I'm all right. He probably feels he's altogether right too. So make a pshara. And then the Gemara ends there. And suddenly the Gemara comes with what I call curbside wisdom. And it gives you seven, and which doesn't seem to have any connection to us. So it begins, Ahu dehava koma, Raza. Man used to say, and this is what he used to say. And we have seven, and it has no connection at all to before the Gemara of Shara and Din. So the Rav asks, why do they have this Ahu dehava koma? I'll just give you an example. The first one, Ahu dehava koma, is... and it's good because I want to test your chumash here of yesterday. Ahud ahava koma va'azil, tuvya deshoma, tuvya heard, he heard bad things were said about him, they said lashon hara about him, a man insulted him, or man hurled epithets against him, whatever the situation is. And vadish, and he ignored it. He didn't make any issue of it. He let it pass. So he says, Chalfuah bishte meyer. He saved himself. He spared himself 100 curses or 100 embarrassments by doing that. So the Gemara, that has nothing to do with our Gemara. So Gemara says, Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Kroksiv. What is the pasuk? Poter mayim reishis mud. That when you release the water, that's the beginning. Mudan is a din and din. Now, where did you find Rashi's Poter Mayim Rashi's Mud yesterday? It's a Mishnah. Where did you find it yesterday? I told you, Kadesh Li Peter. And to Rashi says, what is Peter? That means Pesach, the opening, and he brings this pasuk here. Okay, and then he says, "And Kroksif Poter Mayim Reish's Mother, Reish Meir Dine Ahuda Hava Koma." Okay, Reish Meir. So it means you get the word. He says, "Madon" means Meir, because the gematria of Madon is Meir, and I think Rashi gives another teretz in here. Find over here, I haven't. Can't see it well. The modern notreken meyer dine or done it. This nachrina modern the gematria meyer. So modern means meyer done dine, or the gematria is meyer. Okay. And he goes, how it has nothing to do with pshor and din. And he goes, other things are more far field. This one I may interpret to say that he should make a pshor and better will save himself 100 times if he makes a pshor than he does. I could have said this in the record, but I mean, you know, stretching it. The very last thing he says, and this is very famous Gemara, Ahu dehava koma v'azu kirechimosin hava aziza haput kidesafzer shchivan. That was another curbstone wisdom of his. And he said that when love is strong, powerful between a husband and a wife, then they can sleep together on the edge of a sword. The edge of a sword is big enough for them. And hashta the lo azizirim chumasi, when there's no longer great love between them, puria bar shikin garmide lo sagula, a bed as wide as the world, you want to say, shikin garmide is a very large amount, is not big enough for them. So he said, because of this, the Rav said, I want to see if any of you can understand it. So he says, because of this, this is the last of the seven pearls of wisdom given to us by this Ahud Havakal Marvazel. That's why they have this whole group over here, because it has to do with Pshara and Din. How does it have to do with Pshara and Din? Is anybody here creative enough to say, I think it's in the word once I tell you this. He says, how do you say when people are in love, when love is very strong,
among a husband and wife, between a husband and wife, so they can sleep on the edge of a knife. Because how do you get a relationship where love is so strong? I'll give you something I once heard from my father. This is just thinking as I'm going along. We have two psukim. When a man used to get married, so the Gemara tells us that they used to come to him after he got married. He said, "Well, how's marriage?" And there were two ways of answering: "Motzei isha, motzei tov." The other one would be "Motzani isha mar mimavus," or "Motzani mar mimavus veisha." That's what isha. So I find that the woman is bitterer than death. So that's the way. He didn't have to say she's terrible. He just said the pasuk. So me meets a friend. He said, "Yankel, you got married last year. How's things working out?" So he says, "Motzei isha, motzei tov." Motzani isha mar mimavus. So my father used to say the difference is that when he says in the motza ani, when a man gets married, and this is to help you, answer the riddle. When a man gets married, and he gets married to satisfy himself, motza ani, I found a woman that's going to satisfy me, and the woman he looks upon, she's going to do for him what he needs to be done. Then what's such a man, such a woman, becomes Marva Mavis. But Matsa Isha, I found a woman I want to do for her. Then Matsa Tov. Because the trick in marriage is, and that's what they say over here, the trick in marriage is to be able to defer to my partner, to be able to compromise, to be able to concede to her, and she's able to concede to me. And she wants to conceive. So what if you do? They don't come in with great egos. And you know, and that they have bruised egos. The wife didn't say the right thing. The husband didn't say the right thing. They have bruised egos. But they're able to overlook these things. So what do they do to each other? Each one becomes so small that they're not really, there's no ego there. There is no ego there. Very little of it. That they become so small and so tiny, they can fit on the edge of a knife. When you have no ego, this is what Rav says, and you all for the Isha. He didn't say the Isha, that's my father. But if you do that, you can fit in the edge of a knife. If you're all for yourself, you don't give anything else. You're so big, you're only thinking of yourself, and so egotistical in everything. Then you have the largest bed in the world, it won't fit you. No. That's what he says. And then we go on he didn't bring it to the next Gemara, and I'm sure he meant it, but he didn't bring it. But the Tanya, and then he says, Amar Rav Huna, Kroi Ksive. He says, it's like told in the Pasuk. Mikor Ksive, v'no'arati l'cho Hashem, v'dibarti itcho me'alakvar. I'll meet you, I'll make the appointment place, I'll be there, in the little Oren of the Mishkan. The Tanya, Oren Tisha, the Kapara Stepach. So the Oren is only 10 Tfachim high. Harei Kanasar, Uksiv. And then we have another Pasuk that tells us in Melachim Aleph, Bahabayas Eshebono HaMelech Shlomo Lad Hashem, Shishim Amo Arko, Ve'esim Rabbo, U'shloshim Amo Mokamosa. U'lesov Ksiv, Ko Amar Hashem HaShemayim Kisi, Ve'oretz Adon Ragmai. Eza Bayas Eshebtivnuli. How can you build a bayas to hold me? I'm so large. How can you build a bias over? So the Gemara, of course, explains it, and it says, "My mashra, the high low seguru, listen to the tushehu." Amar Rav Nachman. Okay, so what the answer is that when we follow God, we submit ourselves to God. We have no ego in front of God. We are really very small. So when our Kadosh Baruch Hu is mitzamtzem himself, he's mitzamtzem himself to the same size. And therefore he can put himself, his entirety, in that little aura. Like a putiya de safsara. That's what the ray is. But if we consider ourselves big, God doesn't have any, we crowd God out of our lives. We're so taken up with ourselves. We have no room for God in our lives. We're so big. So then God doesn't mitzamtzem himself. And if he doesn't mitzamtzem himself, that he's Melo Choloritz Kvodo, and you can't really relate to him. And it was on that Rashi said over here, that this, that we're going to read the Rashi, Beis Hamikdash Hayah Gavoa Shloshim Amot Varcho Shishim Uchatu Nemelahem Eze Bayas Asher Tivnu Li Shetuchal Shinosi Lios Mitzumtzemet B'tocho. So that you see that otherwise there is Tzimtzum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a corresponding Tzimtzum. In fact, he makes the first step, perhaps. And when you have Tzimtzum, then you have you can have relations. Therefore, the first mitzvah is Achodesh HaZelachem. Because we learn the Anova. Anova is learned from the Levana. Thank you very much.